Then I found a game called Magic the Gathering.
Magic cards.
Yeah.
And are you into like Magic?
The game. I have like 30 built decks.
Do you go to the Magic Castle?
No. So Magic Castle.
No.
Are you fucking? You're fucking with me.
No.
You fucking with me?
No, it's Magic.
Magic Castle.
Watch.
Fucking guy. Did you see what just happened there?
100%.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm so used to staring at a bloated pretend carcass athlete. And finally, I get to look at a real one.
Yo.
What's up? Cassius Marsh in the house. How you doing, man?
Good, brother.
Thanks for coming, man.
No, thanks for having me, bro.
This should have been an easy commute because I picked this place because it was close to your house.
Yeah.
Which was my house.
Yes.
Thank you for buying my house.
Thank you for selling me your house, sir.
No problem, bro.
It's amazing. We love
it. Dude, I love that house.
Yeah.
It's a good family home, man.
Absolutely. Super private.
Yeah. You know,
just nice, dude.
And I put those fucking bushes in the front.
You did that?
Yeah, man. They used to be all just like open.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, no. We planted those. Yes. I blacked out those gates.
Yes. That was
like,
big time.
The whole message I like to put out in a home is nothing to see here.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep fucking walking.
Yeah, dude. Absolutely.
Yeah. And yeah, so that's 100%. What you got. You got the privacy bunker.
I have no idea what my neighbors do.
Yeah.
No idea.
I can tell you something. Have you seen the guy across the street get the mail?
Yeah. Yeah.
Shirtless?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been there for a long time. He's been there for a long time. He's a trippy kind of guy.
SC fan, just so you know.
Yeah, you know, you got to watch out for those.
You certainly do.
100%.
I'm like, you know, you could put a shirt on just for the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's not the you type. You should probably.
You see me, right? I wear a shirt. Why don't you wear a fucking shirt, man?
Yeah, I can't say anything to him, though, because I rarely have a shirt on, so.
But yeah, but like I said, you know, if I looked like you, I fucking would never wear a shirt. Yeah, so, well, you know.
There's that.
Or you or Bert. If I looked like either of you, I'd never wear a shirt.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to own it sometimes. You know?
Then
like, look at that.
That's look beautiful. At that. Yeah, man.
It's regal, you know.
Hmm. Do you realize that you're going to inflate his fucking ego so much?
I mean, if I've ever seen... I've never seen a more beautiful, like, fat belly. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's got the freckles. He's got the big old belly hair. It's just like, you know.
And it's fucking, it's this hard.
Oh, it's tough.
It's not a soft belly.
Oh, that's a beer belly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called visceral fat.
Visceral fat. Okay.
And it's,
that's the official term.
That's medical term. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. It's attached to your organs. It's not going anywhere. Doesn't matter.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
You can diet. It stays
it's
there.
It's there.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah. It's
rough.
Rock hard, man.
Yeah,
it is rock hard. Yeah. I'll tell you this to your, if you walk out of your front door to your left,
okay.
There's a basketball coach. He's a retired basketball coach, but he still does like
private sessions and stuff like that.
Yep. To your right is an attorney, but he's like semi-retired.
Okay.
And his kid one time they were on an episode of like Dateline.
Okay.
Because the kid watched a previous episode about like a wrongful lawsuit thing.
Okay.
And then told his dad like, "Don't you think that you should get involved in this?" And his dad was like, "I guess so," and got involved and won the case. So they did like a follow-up episode.
Wow.
Yeah, that's your neighbor to the right.
So some pretty significant people besides, you know.
And then I got some other people I'll tell you about off mic.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're in the neighborhood too.
Oh, great. I'm so excited.
Yeah, man. So you're playing right now for one of the fucking most prestigious franchises in all of sports, man.
Absolutely.
Does that sit with you? Like, you know what I mean? Like being in the NFL, I imagine is an amazing accomplishment, period.
Yeah.
But like when you get to Pittsburgh, I mean,
yeah.
That's creme de la creme, right?
Yeah. You know, I've been super, super lucky with teams in general. I feel, you know, obviously got drafted to Seattle, which is a great franchise, you know, they take great care of the players and stuff. And then I got to play for San Francisco, which was
another like legacy type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge, significant. I played for the Patriots, you know, not my favorite time.
No. But wait, like when you play for the Patriots, though, that's of the current, like in the current era.
Yeah.
There's no more dominant franchise.
No,
right?
Absolutely not.
And the whole thing is, I mean, everybody who follows football, you hear about the Patriot way.
Yeah.
And I mean, all you saw was basically them either in or winning a Super Bowl.
The Patriot way is pretty, it's extremely impressive. Like they work day in and day out. Like their work ethic over there, what they, you know, instill is pretty legendary, you know. But they also treat players like crap, you know. You don't have a lunch period.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, so they're just like, just eat on your own?
Yeah, like you get there and you have to make time to eat in between meetings, and they're like 5 to 10 minute periods where I would literally go scoop food and put it in a cup and like just crush it real quick before I got to the next meeting.
Whoa.
It's just like there's no fun.
Really?
Well, that's what I got in trouble for saying, that they don't have fun. There's no like because Patriots fans hate me, by the way.
Really?
Like, yeah, absolutely. If you probably one of the most hated like former Patriots.
Really?
Up there, top five at least.
Top five most hated.
100%.
And did you say no fun after you left or while you were there?
It was after I left.
Okay.
Well, because here's the thing: like over there, nobody says anything publicly because they've won so many championships.
Sure.
So you don't want to upset the fan base, and like, because after you win a Super Bowl, you know, you can get paid for signings in New England for the rest of your life.
Sure.
You know, because you're a Super Bowl champ, you know. So it was funny, like when I did that article, a lot of the players like thanked me for like making it public on how bad they treat guys.
Yeah.
But I mean, they win games, so you just really can't argue with, you know, championships.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely see your point. One of the things that I think stood out, what, like, you know, being a fan of just of football in general, I'm not like a diehard New England guy, but you know, you follow, is you saw how disposable people were in New England. Cause, and I mean, I would say that you could definitely make an argument that, hey, that's what a super successful business or something, they go like this and get the fuck out of here. They just cut, you know, but it's interesting because, I mean, I might have the details of this wrong, but I feel like I remember Moss had that ridiculous season.
Yeah.
And the next year, I thought it was the next season, he made just like a comment post game about his current contract.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, the next week he was gone. Like they were just like, bye.
Yeah, they don't play. They don't play games there, man.
Yeah,
they really don't. Bill runs everything. Like they don't have a GM. They don't have anything. So if you piss off Bill, like
that's it.
You're done.
What are those like team meetings like? Is it like scary,
dude? Okay, so yo, so imagine like imagine you're working like a 9 to 5, right? Uh-huh. And like, it's like a team meeting, right? So like, it's like almost like a school assembly. Okay. And the dude who walks in is like the CEO, and he's like an old dude who, you know, like just plays no games. So like when he walks in, it's dead quiet.
Yeah.
Like everything stops, all phones get put away, all laughter, any type of little chit chat done. Okay.
So when he enters the room, it's over.
Over. Nobody plays around with Bill. I mean, nobody plays with Bill for the most part. So he walks in there and then he comes up to like a podium and he addresses the team for like 45 minutes to an hour every morning. He talks about the GM's history, talks about the team's history, talks about defensive, offensive coordinators' history, the way that they used to run their defense, the way that they run their defense now, the history of all of the coaches.
And always with his same charisma and flair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Super, super exciting to listen to him talk. Yeah. Yeah, no.
Those are the best, like, if as a fan, like, you know, if you want a definite laugh, it's always like just cut to a Belichick press conference because he'll be like,
you know what though? He is the same guy every day.
Consistent.
And so I can respect that.
Sure.
I respect Bill Belichick a lot. Like, he's an extremely intelligent coach. Like,
yeah.
You know, I just really, really didn't like how
you didn't enjoy your time there.
Yeah. And I also came from Seattle, which is like fun, family, you know,
Pete Carroll.
We shoot hoops before every meeting, and it's a competition every day. You know, we're riding scooters from meeting to meeting. Like,
fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It's super like what was
fun,
missing
family,
for you.
College vibes. And then I went there and it was like...
Well, they might have the most polar opposite personalities, right?
Cause, 100%.
I mean, like I said, from a living room, you see Pete Carroll, you're like, well, this guy seems like he's having a great time.
Yeah. No, Pete is like a big ass kid.
Yeah.
Legitimately, he runs around on the field every day. He throws the ball every day. He gets like treatment, he gets his arm and stuff worked on, like he's still playing or something. Like he's out there, like, you know,
he's big enthusiastic.
Energy.
Yeah. But
he rides those scooters.
Really?
From meeting to meeting. Like he's a big, big kid.
Those seem really scary to me. I wouldn't jump on one.
Yeah. It's just the regular like push.
Oh, okay. Though. Okay.
Not like a moped. No. Cause it's just in the house, in the building. Yeah. We're riding like little, like Razor scooters.
You guys, because that was Paul Allen's team, right? Like,
before
he passed.
Rest in peace, yeah.
But I just imagine that, like, if the team is owned by, like, one of the fucking five richest people on earth, that, like, all the little detail, like, is it everything, like, really nice?
It's pretty great there, yeah. So, like, the facilities, like, right on the water, right on Lake Washington, which is just beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, there's a ton of, like, windows and stuff. On the inside of the facility is the indoor. Mm-hmm. It's the weight room's top notch. All of the water that's hooked up is like Kangen water.
Yeah.
I mean, it's dialed over there. For sure, they put a lot of money into a lot of different things.
What was culture like? Because so New England, I would say, you know, the last 15 years or 20 years has been so dominant.
Very dominant.
When I was a kid, I'm older than you. By far the organization that was the most like holy shit was San Francisco. That was the dominant.
Yeah,
I mean they have five, and I think four of them were in like a 10-year period or something.
Yeah, 100%.
It's pretty impressive. Like, how was that culture in San Francisco?
San Fran was great, dude.
It was.
Yeah, I loved San Fran. Like, they take amazing care of the players. Coach Anand was cool, like the guys on the coaching staff, like everybody. Yeah, it was like,
yeah,
some really good vibe, a lot more like Seattle, but like a younger, much younger coach. And so, like, the, you know, wasn't as much like hoorah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pete's a big, you know, hoorah guy.
Hoorah, yeah, all the way.
100%, yeah.
Yeah. But now you're with like a crazy, like iconic franchise, man.
Big time, yeah. I'm actually super excited this season, because last season none of the fans were there.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know.
Was that strange?
It was so weird, bro. Because you can hear shit talk on the sidelines.
That's what do you know how much I would pay? Do you know how much I would pay to hear it?
It was really funny, bro.
Really?
It is really funny shit, bro, because you gotta like imagine, bro, like I'm on the sideline and if you yell out to the field, they're hearing you, bro.
Yeah.
So like when the wide receiver and like DB, like you could already talk shit to them, but like I can talk shit to everybody on the field.
Hey, 22.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, and then on, like you hear everything, bro. So like the huddle, like the QBs are like trying to whisper more because you can hear the plays.
Sure.
It's just like, it was a totally different dynamic. It was like playing. It's like if you were in high school and you guys were playing like a really, really shitty team that had no fans.
Dude, we played a deaf school every year. And so, yeah.
I'm going to try my hardest not to laugh really hard right now.
Well, you know,
that's like, yeah,
one time so I said this to somebody and they're like, well, that doesn't mean they can't play football. And I go, yeah, that's true. It's not, they're not blind.
No.
Because that would be ridiculous.
Yes.
But so they would, their snap count was a drum. So on the sidelines, somebody would hit a drum, and that because that the vibration
is more. So that's what they can pick up.
Yeah, that would be what
so
pick
you were
up.
Just getting off the rock, like you're.
Yeah, we were just like, you know, and you know, really look at that ball.
Yeah,
because exactly. You don't know how many drum beats you're gonna hit.
Exactly.
But we fucked them up, you know. We fucked them up. We fucked those deaf kids up.
Yo, that's crazy. Actually. That's great.
Yeah. We also played a reform school in Orlando. So
like
you had to be kicked out of a school
to go to this
school.
Yeah, okay.
And I remember we went to play the school and I saw these kids and we're like, this kid's like 22 because they were all bad kids.
Yeah, bad as shit. Yeah.
So the thing is, when you looked at them, you're like, these guys are gonna fuck us up.
Yeah.
But we beat them every year.
No discipline.
Exactly. Because they had. you didn't know who's they didn't know who's gonna be at practice on Wednesday.
100%.
You know what I mean? So you on paper, you'd look at them, you'd be like, these guys are gonna wreck us.
Yeah.
But it was they were too disorganized, you know. But
that
yeah,
makes sense. That
those are the
sense.
Two notable things I remember.
So, about. High school rejects, deaf kids.
Fuck both of
just
them up,
beating the fuck out of those guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
I yep. love it. That's yeah. sick. That's good
yeah,
stuff
that's pretty
right
good
there.
Stuff, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
That'll be part of my memoir.
Yeah.
Now, growing up, like your dad played in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that, because you're taking a, like, you're following the path, do you feel, is there added pressure? Like, I have to be good? Because every kid, you always knew if someone's dad played. Like, I remember even in, when I was in sixth grade, a teammate, his dad played for the Lions.
Okay.
And I just, you just go like, what?
Yeah,
your dad
like,
played in the NFL?
So cool, right?
Yeah, and you're a fucking peewee football. Like,
yeah.
So everybody knows. At the time, right? You're a kid. Now you are in California, so I guess there's just more. Like
it's a
there's,
lot,
there's
yeah,
more.
There's, a lot
there's
of
talent
there.
Everywhere. But do you feel pressure as a kid?
Yeah. I mean, maybe not. My older brother was really good too, and he got drafted as well,
which is insane.
And I honestly, so I was like a fat kid growing up.
Really?
Super. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And more like chubby when I was real young. And so I always had to play up, and I was a big kid, and plus I was chubby. So I always had to play like, if I was 11, I had to play with like the 13-year-olds.
Really?
You know, so I was always a little bit behind.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I never was, I had my first season of football, I was really good. Like I was like 8. And I was playing soccer, and I was, like, in good shape
yeah.
and stuff like that. And then I was pretty crappy until...
Really?
Yeah.
I bet that inspires somebody out there for sure.
It might. But, yeah, I was not, like, a starter. I wasn't, like, a big-time player.
Really?
Pop Warner or anything like that. But then my freshman year of high school, like, I had grown a ton, and... I just went nuts my freshman year. Actually, it was against the school that I ended up transferring to. So I went to St. Bonaventure my freshman year, which is in Ventura.
Which is a big, well-known.
It was a pretty good private school. They had won like state the year before.
Yeah.
And so I went there, and I was playing middle linebacker. And like that's what I wanted to do. I was playing middle linebacker, and we were playing this team. We were playing Oaks Christian, and they had this running back named Malcolm Jones.
Mm-hmm.
He actually ended up being the Gatorade National Player of the Year.
Wow.
My senior year. He was my class. But he was on that team, and he was running for like 300-400 yards on everybody. So what they did is they put in a bare front and took me and put me over the nose guard. Bro, I had like 5 sacks, like 6 TFLs, bunch of, you know, just
and
went
are
crazy.
Are you a freshman at this time?
I was a freshman. This is all on freshman. So I'm not like on varsity. It's nothing like crazy impressive. But I kind of found my calling when they put me at D line, because I was just crushing. Got off the line and was, you know, that was pretty much it. And
that's the best, man.
I was a D lineman from that point on.
Oh, we have something to show you, I think. Let me see. Just want to get your take on this. I think it's pretty good.
Oh,
there's me, buddy. Wait.
Big God, look at you.
Yo, that was beastie,
come
though.
Come on, man.
Yo.
And I raised the roof.
Hey,
and I looked for a black guy to hug. It was great.
Yo, number 69.
Yeah,
you
man,
would be
yeah,
number 69.
You know why? Here's why, though. Everyone, like, I make jokes about it. It was our biggest jersey. they were just like the year before, it was his name was Lucian,
okay.
And he was even fatter.
Yeah.
And he wore 69. And they were like, you're pretty fat. This is for you. So that's
so you didn't even have a choice.
There was no choice.
That
like,
was
this,
yours.
There's not much that fits. Yeah. Yeah.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. Just ask our very own Josh Zola, whose entire wireless production facility plan lifestyle has been completely revamped and overwhelmed by Mint Mobile savings. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and bar mates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplished something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders,
balloonists,
bobsledders,
and big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Pretty good, though,
that
right?
That was nice. And you got there fast, too. It wasn't like...
Thank you.
That wasn't like, you know?
Yeah, and you know who was at that game? Like, I remember being in the stands. Who I looked at when I turned that way was Cecil Fielder. Baseball player.
Oh, okay.
So his son was Prince, who was a
Prince
big,
Fielder. Yeah,
huge, Prince Fielder was big, at my really, school.
Oh, okay, okay. And he was on the team.
No, or they we were tried to watching. Get we tried to get Prince to play football.
Nah,
dude, baseball Prince Fielder.
Do that.
This fucking guy, when he was in seventh grade.
Wow. Yeah.
Was at my school.
Yeah.
Because it was a small school. It was a 7 through 12, like private school.
Okay.
Prince was a seventh grader.
Yeah.
And he was 5'9", 245. And we were like, what the fuck, man?
That's so big, bro.
It's so big. And he, so we, you know, and also he's Cecil Fielder's kid.
Yeah.
So everybody's so. Like, and Cecil Fielder would pull up every day in like a Dodge Viper or a Lamborghini.
Some
we were
fire.
Like, what the fuck?
I know
fuck?
You love that.
Oh, I loved it. And, yeah. and then he went broke. But then, yeah. So, but Prince, we see him and we're like, dude, we got to get this kid on the football team, right?
Yeah.
So we go up to him. We're like, and I'm like a junior. I'm like, you need to be on the football team.
Yeah,
to a seventh grader.
Yeah,
like, and he's like, nah, I don't want to play football. And we're like, what? Yeah. Then we see him take batting practice in seventh grade.
Yeah.
And just fucking.
Yard.
Dude. We're like, oh my God. Then we watched him play basketball. And he's a pudgy seventh grade kid.
Yeah.
Dude, like spin moves, double, like pump, like just
oh,
running.
He was hooping.
Like, yeah. They're like, just like a pudgy kid, but like wow. Super athletic. But I remember. That I after that sack, I look and I make eye contact with Cecil because it's a small.
If you didn't know,
like, yeah, motherfucker, you know me now.
I'm the man.
Yeah,
69, bro.
69, bitch. And then there was a flag because I actually got some face mask on that on that sack.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever, that's man. Just that's the refs. It's refs still, are haters.
That's a hater.
Can we
man.
Just talk about how garbage refs are?
Yes.
Can we
yes.
talk about that? Because yes. I hate refs with a deep, deep passion.
Do you do any? Because sometimes they show the. Got you, you know, you guys in the league. Hey, what's up, man? How's it going? Like, do you socialize?
I do. I, you know, some of them are pretty chill, but there's ones, you know, and you gotta like kind of schmooze them. You know what I mean?
Kind of like so
you
cops, can, man.
100%. They're yeah. just like cops. Like,
yeah.
you have to respect them and show them like some respect, but behind there's that, all, behind ass, all that respect is a deep, deep hate.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And also like. You can tell, like, just like with a cop, you can tell who's like, this guy's doing his job, like, you broke the law, or, you know what I mean? Like, you're disrespected. And then there's the ones, like, refs who you could tell are on a power trip and who are, you know, I feel like if you put them on a witness stand, you couldn't be like, don't even act like you don't have a bias against this guy. Like, you hate this guy.
You hate this person. Yeah. No, they are, the refs are, the ones that are the worst to me is like, when you're talking to them,
yeah.
And they literally, completely disregard you.
Yeah.
Like I'm here and you're there. You're the ref. I'm speaking to you and they will just completely.
Are you like, what's up with that hold, ref?
I'm like my jersey's wrapped around my neck. I'm like, ref, you don't see my jersey right now, bro. Like, what's going on? Can I get a call? Can I? Yeah. And he'll just not, like, literally not say a word.
So that, fuels you more.
Oh man, it makes you just want to, but you can't.
You can't.
Can't do anything.
I mean, you could.
And you, yeah. But I don't think you'd last much longer in the league. But you can't say, and you can't even really say what you want to say to them either, because they can just throw an unsportsmanlike and
yeah. I heard, is it true, because look, going back to like the shit talking, which is really, it's part of my love of football.
Of
like,
any sport.
Yeah, of any sport, but something about football, because it's violent and it's contact, that when you hear shit talking on top of that, like I've told this story before, but when I had a bit of a delusion about, like, you know, like when you're playing in high school, you're like, I want to play at the next level.
Yes.
And I don't want to play D3. I want to play on TV.
Yeah.
I remember I go with one of the guys there on a recruiting trip to Miami.
Ooh.
And I stand on the field and these guys come out. I'm like, well, I'm not fucking playing here. Yes. But I hear these guys talking shit. And I was like, ear to ear, smiling, because they were saying the wildest shit that I've ever heard, and I'm standing on the sideline like, oh my god. But it was exciting. It was exciting to hear the type of shit talk. Like, are you a shit talker on the field?
It depends, you know.
So that means sometimes.
Sometimes, 100%. Absolutely. Yeah. When, like, if there's an O-lineman, because I hate O-linemen, too.
Refs and O-linemen.
Refs and O-linemen, yeah. I mean, I think everybody generally hates refs. Yeah. I don't know anybody.
Yeah, and who loves refs?
I just love a good ref.
Yeah.
You know?
You know my favorite part of football is? Yeah. The refs.
They're so amazing, just the way that they...
The way they know the rules.
Flags and stuff, yeah. Yeah,
but O-lineman, okay. So will you'll talk shit to an O-lineman?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, 100%.
Now, these guys are like fucking buildings.
They're
like,
huge, bro.
They're
Some
so
of these
big.
Guys are like, nowadays, like Orlando Brown from the Ravens is like 6'8", like 360.
I've met him.
Oh, you met him?
He came to my show.
He's huge.
Zeus,
yeah.
Yeah, Zeus came to my show, man.
Yeah.
I was in Baltimore,
monstrous,
with Ryan Sickler. Shout out to Ryan, who is from Baltimore, and Zeus came to our show, man. He's a massive human being.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was like that's what I think about too, is like, even standing next to you, because you're a big dude, but like when you stand next to this guy, you're like,
I'm
fuck
small.
This guy is enormous.
I'm
man.
Not a large football player.
It's
I'm not
do you get into like I had Tony Gonzalez here.
Yeah.
And we did, we talked, and he was so like,
great, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, what did, he's like, the thing I heard the most was like, you ain't shit. I was like, really?
Yeah.
You're a Hall of Famer. And he's like, yeah, they still are like, you ain't shit.
You ain't shit. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, I mean, do you have like, is there a go-to that you, you know what I mean? That you trash talk?
I just will call someone. I'm just like, you're fucking garbage. You know, that's my go-to. You know, like some of the, like on like special teams and stuff like that, some of the guys, like they're just, you know, they're, you know, they don't play on defense. They're strictly special teams.
Yeah.
And like, if I really want to piss somebody off, I'll be like, get your ass back to the fucking sideline, you scrub, or some shit like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That this guy's that just never plays, dude. You know, it just really hurts
it
their,
hits heart.
Their heart. So
yes.
Then the next time that they come out, like they got a vendetta for you. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Dude.
And it fucking takes them out of their game completely.
That's when shit talking, that's the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I find it entertaining.
Oh, it's amazing.
But like for people in the game, the most effective shit talkers is taking someone, getting in their head.
Yeah.
Like I remember from basketball, like there's so many well-known ones, but like Gary Payton was so famous, you know, the glove for like, it's like fucking with
talking
people's
shit,
head.
Yeah, 100%.
Them. Then all of a sudden you're talking to him like, let's talk about my wife.
Exactly. Yeah. There's those guys who, you know, like they talked about sisters and
dude,
wives and moms and stuff.
There's
like that.
There's a famous story. I don't know if it's widely known. He was an Eagles coach. He had like a really, can you pull up Philadelphia Eagles past head coaches? Is it Rhodes? Was it Ray Rhodes? Was that his name? Just pull up Philadelphia Eagles head coaches. Cause this story,
this is a tough city.
Ray Rhodes. Google him. Pull Ray Rhodes Eagles. This dude, this story I heard from a football player and, yeah. Yep. To go to his images though. that this, because he had, there's coaches at different personalities like we're talking about.
100%.
And Ray Rhodes apparently had a pretty, most of the time, a no-nonsense approach, I guess, as
okay,
a coach.
Pretty strict guy.
And the story was, and if I'm getting this wrong, I'll just say this is an allegedly happened, okay? Just to protect myself and my company. So
could not be true. It was just something I've heard.
This is allegedly that there was, it was, I mean, just because like you can see that, like, that's probably that's like the day he smiled. Yeah, but like, let's go to like, let's go to a different, like a more serious Ray Rhodes look, you know?
Okay.
Maybe, yeah. Nope.
That's,
I think that guy.
Serious. That's
pretty serious.
That's what you're looking for, I think.
So it's halftime and the team, right there. That guy, you could tell that guy's not fucking around, you know? It's halftime and the Eagles are down.
Uh-huh.
And he's with the you know, giving the halftime speech or whatever.
Yes.
But he walks up there and he's just in front of people, is not talking. So like every, you know, people are moving, you know, helmets and everything.
Right.
And then people are just kind of like looking around like, what's, you know, he's not talking.
Yeah.
And he was just like staring.
Right.
And then he goes, they are raping your wives and your mothers, and you're watching it fucking happen. And they were like, what? And he's like, do you want your mothers to get raped? And they were like,
no.
You want to sit around and watch that shit? That's what I'm seeing. Get the fuck out there. And they were like, all right, win on three.
Yeah. Did they come back and win?
Yes.
They did? Yes, oh, okay, yes. Okay.
I think they were like, this guy's going to kill us if we don't win.
That's pretty motivational.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Have you heard wild speeches? Like, or is it all? It feels like the most exciting thing is a personality like that for a fan, because you're just used to cliche stuff.
You know what's really bad, though?
What?
When you have a head coach that is just awful at speeches.
Yeah, I bet.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, it's tough. It's
like,
tough.
Doesn't know how to.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say, you know, I spent a little time with the Jaguars this last season, and I won't say what position this coach held,
uh-huh.
but it was a pretty high level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Way up there.
Way up there.
yeah.
Way up there.
Uh huh.
And he was god awful.
Really?
Like, to the point where, like, you know, you make eye contact with your boys.
Yeah, and you're like,
and you're just like.
Was it just like missing the mark,
it was just a lot of cussing.
Oh, really?
It was a lot of cussing, and it was like the most plain, like, just no, there's no depth behind, like, there's like, you know what though? This particular coach, mind you, just, you know,
mm-hmm.
one of the guys, I don't know. He was an offensive lineman, you know, back in the day.
Ah.
So I think that might have something to do with it.
So he would just curse a lot.
Yeah, he was just cursed. It just wasn't good, man. It just kind of like brought, like, if you were hyped up and ready to go, like, he might have brought your level down a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
That kind of sucks.
It definitely sucks, especially when you go out there and there's no fans, too.
Yeah.
So it's like double rough.
I'll say this, from one's living room, the NFL seemed almost no different because of the way you can shoot football.
Yeah.
So, like, you're watching it and they would pipe in that fake crowd.
Yeah,
and you
the
forget.
Fake crowd
first
noise.
Week, you're like, this is goofy, right?
Yeah.
But you forget. And then the way that it's covered, they wouldn't show it a lot.
They don't
so
show
you'd,
it.
Like, oh, yeah, there's no one there. Basketball was weirder to watch because there's no way to avoid
the empty stands.
Yeah. But it did make it, like, so for football, I still ended up feeling, I felt like I was watching football games. Like,
right.
But for basketball, I felt like I was watching practice. I felt like I was watching guys practice.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Yeah.
It's going to be great to have. Excuse me, to have audiences back again.
Oh, 100%. I think that's such the biggest part about, like, these games, man. I mean, especially for everybody involved, you know, people watching the games, the players, like, everybody, they provide, like, the fans provide such amazing energy, and it's like, you know, some guys probably struggled a lot this season because, like, they really get their energy from, like, running out on the field. Like, that, like... The feeling of running out on the field and having people scream for you is like
80,000 people.
Oh, dude, it gives me chills just thinking about
it
right now. Yeah, absolutely. But like when you run out there and you're like trying to get hyped for the game and there's like literally
like,
Yeah, exactly. There's like nobody there and you can hear the cheerleaders like, yeah. I don't even know if they were even out there half of the time, but they're, you know, you just hear everything that's being said.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it was weird, bro. It was definitely
that's a strange thing. My favorite all time pregame speech is from a high school coach, and it's on video. Okay. We can actually go to YouTube, and it's from type in Year of the Bull. And I used to reference this.
So this is your coach, or is this a
no.
coach?
So there's a documentary. There's a documentary called Year of the Bull,
okay.
which follows. Click that first one for a second for me, and I'll tell you. Yeah, hit that. Yeah. That's the speech. So go to the beginning of that. So this is. There's a high school in. Back it up. Go to him bench pressing. Leave it there. Yeah. So there's a high school called Miami Northwestern.
Yeah, no.
In
yeah.
Liberty City. Super,
so many good players came out of there my year.
Dude.
I remember there was like 10, like 11 kids that were like on the top
wild.
100. It was
yeah,
crazy.
It's wild. And it's like a factory because yeah. at when this documentary came out, yeah. this came out in like 04, 05.
Okay.
It had already produced, think about this, for a high school, like one high school. 19 NFL players. And like
outrageous.
Countless.
Yeah.
Every year. So at the time, they're following this kid named Torian Charles, who ends up having like some trouble. You know, he goes to Florida and then he ends up playing some like arena league or stuff like that.
Okay.
But one of the coaches, they have multiple, like, it's one of those, you know, the schools that have like, we have four head coaches and you're like, what? Pick a head
yeah,
coach.
Yeah, it's like,
man.
It's just like all, there's like three assistant head coaches and stuff.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
So, Coach Ice. Yes. His name is Tim Harris. And his son played in the NFL.
Okay.
I think it's Tim Harris Jr. was a corner. Maybe. He might even still be in the league.
He could be, yeah.
I've showed this to so many people that played football. And they're like, this is the wildest. This might be like, remind you of the high up coach we were talking about.
Okay.
But go ahead and throw your cans on.
Okay. All right. Cool. I'm excited right now. Here we go.
It's definitely colorful, you know?
Hold on 1 second. Colorful?
Yeah. Okay. Colorful. How's your volume? You all right?
Yeah. No, it's good.
Okay. All right. Picture yourself. You're about to go out in the tunnel. Okay. And instead of high school, this is Mike Tomlin.
Right.
And this is just your pregame, ready to go out there speech.
Okay.
In my house, disrespecting me. I gotta do something about it. My family right there, bro. I gotta protect my mama. My mama sitting in the stands, man. Your parents sitting right there. They're in your house, man. Your mama in the fucking stands. They're trying to disrespect me in my house and grab a fucking remote control. That's exactly what they did. They come in your house, grab a fucking remote control, Derek Willis, and control your fucking TV. And your motherfucking house. Team Billy, they can't run in the house. Put on the same shit you got on. And say, fuck you.
There you go. Now let's hit the field. Come on.
Did you see him clap? And the kid jumped back.
No, they're terrified. Dude, they're terrified.
He grabbed your fucking remote.
Remote control. His motivation is that the other team came into your house, picked up your remote, is watching TV
in your house,
and then they put on the same shit you got on and said fuck you, and then he's like, let's go win this game. I love it.
Those kids were so confused.
They were terrified. If you go to the beginning of this video, there at that, okay, that is halftime of the state championship game,
right?
And all that coach does is hit them in the head say, why is the defense not working? Like and they're like, ah, and they're all flinching. That's it. It's not like, let's go to zone. It's just like, why is this not working? That's all he, like, here.
Let me see.
Put that, let me see if I remember this. I haven't seen this in years, but I only saw it like 40 times.
Why is the defense not working? Why is it not working?
That's halftime. That is halftime of the state championship.
Yo, one of the kids is probably like, Coach, why the fuck you hit me? Shut up and just listen.
What? But, you know, I played it for my buddy who played at Miami.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you think? He goes, you know what I didn't hear in any of this? And I go, what? He goes, football.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Anything about football.
Why is the defense not working?
Why? You get fucking smacked in the head.
Yeah, that is. And they were winning with those coaches.
Dude, like state championship
level
in the high and
coaching.
At the 6A, like the highest Florida, like they're playing mm-hmm. other high schools with 6,000
teams in Florida.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
and fucking them up, and their coaching is, why is this shit not working?
How many concussions do you think he?
Oh
out?
My god.
Over his time, I mean, that's just one video. So you got to imagine how many times
they're used to that. He's, you know, like,
you're used to getting hit in the head, but it's still, you know.
And like, you know, like the way that like a hand with a ring or something on a helmet, you're like,
oh,
come on, man.
100%.
Rings in there.
Yeah.
Or someone takes a whistle and like fucking smacks you in the head. Yeah. Like, come on, dude.
You know what's the worst is right after you just, you blast somebody, like you just, you know, you fucking hit the shit out of somebody, right? Mm-hmm. And you get up and you're hyped, and the first thing all your boys do is come smack the shit out of your head.
That sucks.
It is ridiculous, dude.
I think about that a lot of times.
Now that I'm thinking about it, like before it used to really fire me up, but like I've seen a couple of guys, like after they hit somebody and somebody will come up and get them a big old smack and they'll snap on them, bro.
Oh, like, yeah. Like, what are you doing?
Like, but you'll stop.
Yeah, my shit's already ringing.
My
right
shit's
now.
Ringing already. I don't need your help. Yeah.
There's been a couple, injuries from that. Like I remember watching this game a year or two ago.
Yeah.
Florida Gators playing somebody, and one of the dudes made like lit somebody up, like a free safety just lit, and he got up and was like, ah! Yeah. And somebody ran, one of his teammates ran full speed and just like lit him up and did something to his back, and he's like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, bro. It's, like,
yeah, he was out. He was out after that.
Oh, he came.
Yeah, yeah. He's
that's that
removed from the game.
100%. Yeah.
The only thing worse than that would be, what was that fucking guy? I think he was a quarterback for the Jets, and he scored a touchdown. He was like, yeah.
Oh,
and then he headbutted the wall, and he hurt his neck on his...
That is god-awful. That is really bad.
Yeah, look what he Googles. Quarterback, headbutt. Oh, that's it. You're right. You got it.
Yeah. Can we see the... Is there a video of
it? Yeah, you got to find the video.
Is there a video of it?
Type his name in. Yeah.
Yep, there it is. Oh, yeah, of course. So,
this ended with him injured.
Did he ever play again?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Because if not, that would just be
tragic. He just scored here.
Why'd he do that? He just, oh my God. Yeah.
Right there. He's like, oh, my neck.
Yeah,
that was, I think that was at the Jets. So he was playing for the team from Washington, excuse me.
Yeah, the Washington football team.
The Washington football, that's a strange, but.
You think they'll ever like have a name? You think they'll come up with a mascot again?
Not with Dan Snyder as the owner.
No.
No. And I will say this. I was just in some mall like with sports memorabilia stuff. Okay. And I was like, yo, the hat and everything looks clean.
The
like
W?
Yeah.
Like just the Washington?
The W. And like it says like just Washington. I was like, it looks like aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
It seems like, hey, there should be like some moniker. Like you should have like a mascot or something.
It's probably pretty tough to be like, let's go Washington.
Yeah, it also feels like he was like,
how about them Washington football
players?
He was
like, well, fuck you. It feels like that.
Yeah.
That they were like, we're considering the fucking, I don't know what they were considering. There was a few names in the running.
I don't know.
And
remember.
He was probably
Warriors.
Like, you know what?
Washington Warriors. Like that would have been, nobody's in the NFL as the Warriors. That
Warriors
makes
is a
no
good,
sense.
Is That'd a be, good name.
Yeah.
And it would have been like, you know, it probably would, they were like, you know, everybody likes the Warriors. And he was like, you know what? They can't be the Redskins.
Yeah.
They're the fucking team from Washington.
Yeah.
That's what I think happened. And they were like, okay, you own the team. So
you might be onto something. Yeah. What's he looking up now?
Oh, this is probably the name. Oh, you're like Warriors.
Oh, wow, dude, he's
Red
on
Tails. The Red Tails kind of feels like,
The Red Tails? Wait, was that a legitimate option?
I think so. I think that was an option.
No, no. Oh, no, it is the Washington Red Tails.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just rough. It's rough. That guy right there, Chase Young, he's impressive, dude.
Impressive.
And I've heard some really good stuff about him as just like a young guy,
yep.
You know, as a young like leader and stuff. He was a rookie captain, was just really impressive.
Super impressive. I remember seeing
look at this guy. He's a freaking freak.
Oh, dude. I remember seeing video of him like bringing guys up, you know, on the sideline, yeah, and you're like, he's a rookie.
Yeah.
Like talking to the quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's like their guy. Yeah. Dude, we have this collection. So we've got this guy at the, that, when we call them players, like all our guys who, you know, buy cards or into collectibles and stuff, we call them players. He has over, like, the collection he's amassed is like over $100,000 worth of Chase Young rookie cards.
Like, just Chase Young stuff?
And like the most fire, all of the, like, the rarest, the one of ones. Dude. The one of fives, one of tens, and he's like trying to complete like the one of tens. It's like, it's wild.
So tell me what you like. You started a business, which I gotta say, it's so unique. Cash Cards Unlimited,
yeah,
right. And I have the first time I heard about like I remember cards from being a kid,
yeah.
And like you know, like I told you, baseball cards were always the most prized and valuable.
Yeah.
But I didn't play or follow baseball.
Yeah.
So. I was like, I like football, I like basketball. Those are the things I collected.
Yeah.
And then I remember seeing something, Gary Vee, you know, like the, the entrepreneur guy. Mm-hmm. Like, this is like, I want to say like maybe a year and a half ago, maybe where he was like, I'm telling you,
it's
cards
coming.
Are coming back.
Yeah.
And he was buying them in bulk and like encouraging it.
Right.
Then I hear about you doing it.
Yeah.
And like that you're really into it. Like absolutely. Legit. It's not just like, oh, here's a business to do.
No,
you really, really are into it.
Yeah.
How did you get into it?
I've been into it for a long time, dude. Like, I was heavy, heavy into Pokemon as a kid.
Really?
I'm a bit, like, huge nerd, dude. All I watch is anime for the most part.
Seriously?
Oh, dude. Like, all day long. If I'm turning on TV, my first reaction is to go to Crunchyroll. I'm not sure if you know what Crunchyroll is.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Crunchyroll is, like, the anime. It's like Netflix for anime.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it a streaming platform?
It's a streaming platform, yeah. It's called Crunchyroll.
And you love anime.
I love anime, yeah. Probably, I'd say 95% of what I watch is anime.
Wait, what does your lady think?
She watches it with me.
But she's like, but I'm tolerating
it? Some of the stuff. No. Like, there's, like, okay. So, I have to tolerate. She watches Korean dramas.
What?
Yes.
Wait, is she Korean?
She's half Korean.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just like, no, that's just her lane, man.
No. She's half Korean. So Korean dramas are her thing, which are actually pretty good, honestly.
Korean cinema is incredible.
Really good.
Amazing.
And the Korean dramas are really good, too, honestly.
Have you seen
Parasite?
Parasite was incredible.
Yeah, really good.
What is it? The Devil? You know what I'm talking about? Korean movie with the devil in the title.
I don't know. She's probably tried to get me to watch it, though, 100%.
Bro, I Saw the Devil? That's what it's called, I think. I Saw the Devil, right? Unbelievable.
No, I haven't seen it.
This is fantastic.
Really good?
Really good.
Is this
really
the...
Then there's another one.
Is this the one where they all are, like, infected and stuff like that?
Or no, that's a different... I know what you're talking about.
That one was really good, too.
That's
though.
A very good movie.
Yeah.
And I have that written down somewhere because it was basically...
I'll have to tell Devin about it. She's always looking for her new Korean movie to watch. But yeah, so I'm super into
it's so good,
to all that stuff. Pokemon, I did Yu-Gi-Oh! I did Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! Simultaneously. I was super on both of them.
Really?
Played all the games. Yeah, dude. And I still play the games to this day. Like, I was they're dropping two new Pokemon games on them, and I'm pre-ordered. Pre-ordered, bro. There's no games playing. Like, I'm
Your son's gonna be so thrilled.
Yeah.
That, like,
what do you mean? I'm gonna be so thrilled. So
yeah,
I'm gonna have somebody
like,
to play games with and cards with and all that
he's
stuff.
He's gonna be like,
dude.
Dad, I want to talk to you about Pokemon. You're gonna be like, yeah, which one do you want, man? I got them all fucking here.
Everything, 100%. He might what if he's like not into it because it's just so readily available?
That's the thing about having like I have two kids and you like we always have the conversation where you go like about comedy where we're like, will they be funny?
Yeah.
Will they think you're funny? Like, probably not. They'll be like, God, you're so lame. You know, that's what kids do.
Yeah.
And then you go, well, they like the things I like. Because sometimes we'll go, like, all of a sudden I'll go, oh, like, my youngest, he's definitely going to line up with me on this.
Yeah. 100%.
Right? And then the other kid, you'll be like, yeah, he's definitely not. No. And then, you know, my wife will be like the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's funny because you go, like, you're an athlete, but you have, like, this obviously wide variety of interests. And, like, you know. It's your kid could be like sports are lame, you know, and you're like, oh,
he could be too because you know Devin's an artist, and the kid loves to draw.
There you go.
I mean,
but then also
loves music.
Our kids are so young
that you never that know.
You never know. And then you think you know. You're like, there it is. He's an artist. Yeah. And then the next year they'll be like, if there's one thing I hate, it's art. And you're like, okay. They change so dramatically.
Yeah. I'm just enjoying the ride, dude.
That's all we can do.
Yeah. He's a ton of fun.
Yeah. And then at some point you go, if you don't like football, you're not my son.
Honestly, though, no. that you would think. But I don't want him to play football, bro.
Yeah.
I'd rather him play I'd rather him be a hooper, a golfer.
Oh, yeah.
Soccer.
Well, now we know things.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you see honestly, I told you, I didn't follow baseball.
Yeah.
But if my kid loved baseball, I'd be like, yeah, dude.
100%.
I'll baseball, drive you to every game.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And if you're like a freaky athlete in baseball, too,
wild.
You're like very valuable.
Oh, my God. We were looking at these contracts the other day.
And they're fully guaranteed.
Fully guaranteed.
And yeah, dude. That's the main difference, honestly, to me. Yeah. Is like the PAs for all of these organizations. Like the NBA, like they're locked, bro. Like all these other leagues, like they're they get on the same page, they figure it out, but
and then you guys have the most struggles. Violent. You know,
you'd think we'd have lifetime insurance and we'd have
part. Like I understand if you have a 53-man roster and the way that, you know,
money's got to spread out.
You got to spread it out. And I can understand a case made for guaranteed in that business.
Yeah.
But not taking care of the guys that played is super upsetting.
The fact that they don't pay for the insurance is just crazy.
It's insane. It's like
they wouldn't even be in that situation.
You see these guys can't walk and, you know,
there's so many. Yeah. But I mean, the NFL is getting better about
Well, the pressure is also growing on them.
Yeah. Because a lot of these older guys are dying super, super young.
It's scary.
It's
scary.
Yeah, no doubt.
No, back to your to the cards. Like, mm-hmm. What is the business that you run? Like, what can people do there? Buy, trade, sell?
Yeah. So, like I was saying, I'd like Pokemon Magic or Pokemon Yu-Gi-Oh, all that stuff. And then I found a game called Magic the Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of the original trading card games.
Super popular. Right?
Super popular worldwide too. Actually, like they have a pro league. They've got a Hall of Fame. Like they have tournaments like all in a bunch of different countries and stuff. It's super sick, bro. But I got super into that and. When I got drafted, I got back into it because obviously in college I didn't have any money and I didn't have any time, so I got away from it. But I started getting back into it, investing in the cards, and Magic cards have been appreciating at the same level or higher than gold for 15 plus years.
Really?
Yeah.
Magic cards.
Yeah.
And are you into Magic?
I play the game. I have 30 built decks.
Do you go to the Magic Castle?
No. So Magic Castle.
No.
No. Are you fucking? You're fucking with me.
No,
right?
No.
You're fucking with me.
No, it's magic.
Magic.
Watch. It's gone.
It's gone. My paper is gone. Yeah, no, it's not.
No, wait.
Fucking guy. Did you see what just happened there?
Okay, wait. Explain to me again.
So it's a trading card game. It's Magic the Gathering. Okay?
No, but I thought you actually liked Magic.
No, it has nothing to do with
No, I understand that this is separate, but you don't like Magic?
I mean, no, it's not, no.
Really?
The answer is no.
Fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if somebody showed me, I'd probably be like, how'd you do that? What's the trick behind it? I want to know what you did.
I came in here today being like, if there's one thing I know, it's that Cash just loves Magic.
You were off, bro. Totally off, bro. Completely off.
I saw you post something once and I was like, oh, he loves Magic.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's not it. It's these trading cards, dude. Yeah.
So wait.
But the game is just super, super complicated. Bro.
This game is complicated.
It's very complicated. You have to be very intelligent to be you can be not intelligent and play the game, but to be good at the game, you really, it's like chess on steroids. Like there's game theory.
And do people buy and sell and trade these?
Oh yeah, 100%. So a mint 10 PSA 10 graded Black Lotus sold for $1 million.
What? This is a trading card?
A trading card.
Well, abracadabra.
Look up a fucking guy, dude. Yo, his laugh legit makes me laugh harder at everything. Yeah. Like
$42,000 for a card?
Yeah, no, and those are the ones that are played, dude. Like the ones that are played, like, that's the thing about Magic is, like, all these cards are super valuable and people still play with them. Like, there's people who are playing with, like, $250,000 decks. Like,
what?
Playing with cards. Like, they have a deck of cards, 60 cards, that are worth $250,000, and they're just fucking shuffling them and playing with them. Yeah, 100%.
And when you play, is it only, is it one-on-one, or is it, like,
can you can play one, like, so you do one-on-one.
It's obviously always in person, or is it virtual as well?
They do virtual as well, but, like, I don't really.
But in person is the way to do it.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
And could I, because I don't know anything about the game, if we're playing, could I end up with your card? Like, does it work like
that? There's
a
way to, like, there's a way to, like, steal somebody else's permanent. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And even, like, a high dollar card?
Not, like, take it, like, or you mean, like, end up with it, like, owning it?
No.
No.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
I mean, you could play for keeps. Like, I've never played that, but that'd be pretty risky.
But my decks are expensive. There's a whole theory on how to play. Like,
there's, it's really, really intricate and complicated. Yeah, it's a super, super dope game.
Wow. And then do you guys also do sports?
So we do Magic the Gathering, Pokemon, football, basketball, baseball, and we have soccer right now.
Yeah.
We actually just got approved to be one of the premier stores for Upper Deck, too. So we'll start having hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Because Upper Deck, I mean, as a kid, it was Tops.
They were Tops, Upper Deck, and then Panini. But Upper Deck kind of, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what happened, but they stopped
making
a lot of.
Dude, you make me want to go look at the. I have old sports memorabilia stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Like, mostly cards and, like, you know. I have, you know, sometimes on certain manufacturers, you could take the packet and you could see through, like, on certain wrappers, I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I have one that's.
You have sealed product.
I have some sealed. I mean, I don't have a huge collection.
Yeah, but you have some sealed stuff.
But it's in it is Michael Jordan at UNC, like a Carolina card, you know? So you can see through the thing.
It's a really valuable card.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I know you're rich and all. And
No.
You probably don't.
It's at my parents' house. I don't even have it at home. Okay.
I mean, if you get.
Can I ask you this about this? Because I always wonder this with, like, there's certain things where when you go to purchase something, you know what it kind of what it should be, right? Like, if I want to buy a car,
the price tag on it.
Yeah, or like, and like, you can be like, well, maybe I, you know, they might be getting me for a few thousand
right,
dollars,
right? But you know the range, yeah.
But then there's things where you go like, hey man, I'm at the mercy of this field, like wine, or, you know, where I'm like, I don't know what this is, man. Yeah. So how does somebody know when they go like, I have a card that it's. Like, do they refer to
typically it's eBay sales.
eBay sales?
So right now, trading cards make up a third of eBay sales right
now. A third?
Yes. A third.
You're in the right business, man.
Dude, it is going insane. Like, people, because it's an alternative investment at this point.
So when you're done playing, you're going to be all in on this, right?
I actually might make more, not even might. If we just continue to make how we are now, I'll make more at the trading card shop than I do in the NFL this year.
I'm going to open a trading card shop.
Cash Cards Austin?
Cash Cards Austin, a.k.a. Now you see me, now you don't.
Yeah. Right back to the Magic shit, dude.
I swear to God.
You know the guy who freaking bent the spoon? So he sued Pokemon because they made a card called Kadabra, and he basically got the card banned, and because he sued him. So, like, this guy is widely hated in the Pokemon community.
How valuable is that card? It's got to be out there.
It was the one that was below the rare. So basically, they just couldn't print the card anymore. It was super. Yeah,
I remember. This is like along the same lines. What was the other big game? The one that what's his name? The Carlton? What's the actor? I forget the name of the game. What's his name?
Dungeons and Dragons, are you saying a thing in there?
I forget the name. What's his name? Alfonso?
Alfonso, yeah.
Ribeiro, right? And he sued one of these big, put his name sues. He sued one of the big, I forget the, what
like game? A trading card company or a game?
Yes, against Fortnite. That's who he did. He sued Fortnite.
Oh, because they did the...
Yes.
Yeah.
And I believe they settled or he won. Or he drops it says. Oh, he dropped it.
Oh, they probably paid him.
I thought that I read that it had been a thing, but yeah, because he said that's basically my trademark move.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's anybody out there who doesn't recognize that that's Carlton's move,
I mean,
then you're...
I saw that and I was like, I know that's your move, bro.
That's Carlton right there.
That's bro. Your move, dog. Yeah. It's like, I know that's his move. Like, I know you are a fucking magician. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, no, 100%.
So wait, does the business also deal with NFTs? Because this is a fucking explosion. Like, I didn't know what that was. I'd never even heard it, I feel like, 6
yeah.
months ago.
Yeah.
And now you just can't stop running into it.
Yeah, NFT, it's crazy. It's crazy. So NFTs are basically trading cards and cryptocurrency combined into one thing.
And digital art as well.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So you're basically tying blockchain to digital art, like whether it be like a clip, a video clip, music, or you know, just an image, like this beautiful image here.
So this beautiful image could be an NFT.
Absolutely. Okay. Overnight. Actually, within 4 hours, if you mess with owner. Shout out to owner. You know what I'm
Sub
saying?
Owner.
Yeah.
And then, you like, because one thing I read is that you can go auction on something, or you can go limited production, or you can go one of one and say, I'm selling 100 of these.
Yeah.
These are the price. Or you can be like, let's see where this goes.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a bunch of different ways to do it. I mean, it's just like trading cards, right? So like we were talking about earlier with like the limited edition Chase Youngs, right? Like mm-hmm. You can go 10 of one certain art. You can do a different art that's one of one.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a base art that's like there's 1,000 of them and you sell them at a different price.
Wow.
Or you can do the one of one art and you can just auction it. So there's a ton of ways to actually sell it. There's a bunch of different platforms. But yeah I mean... basically how it happened is I had a buddy, my guy Chuck, we went to college together. He went to UCLA. Actually, when I met him, dude, he was doing homework, for rent.
Really?
Yeah. He was doing homework for rent. And now the guy has like stake in like over like 12 companies. He's into venture capital. He's big time guy. Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Chuck Figueroa. He's a great guy. But anyways, he introduced me to my guy, Kenneth, the CEO of Owner. And was just like, this guy is tied in into the trading cards and to this market, because the two markets are basically tied together.
Sure.
Because, I mean, NFTs are trading cards, but digital.
Yeah.
And he made me a co-founder, and the thing has just kind of took off from there. But
that's awesome, man.
Yeah. NFTs are, they're incredible, man. I mean, they're digital art, but they're secure. And I think that's the...
And can I ask you this? Because I've been like slowly, you know, like learning about it. And mm-hmm. I had two people already give me presentations. I still
don't get it really. Oh. Yeah.
I mean, so once you, like, if I buy this NFT of you
mm-hmm.
playing,
yeah.
Right. Like a still shot or whatever.
Right.
It's in a digital wallet. Like,
yeah.
And then I can pull up on my phone, on my computer. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can I display it? I guess on
they
a digital...
actually, so there's actually a company that owner's working with to be able to, like, you know, those capsules
mm-hmm.
that basically like, there's an image that like appears and it like spins.
Like a hologram style.
Yeah, like
thing?
A hologram yeah. capsule. Yeah. So I mean that would be one of the
ways
to display your
But
NFT.
The cool thing is that it also you don't have to it can't get destroyed.
It can never right? There's no way to replicate it, to hack into it, to destroy it. It's
how is it
secure?
Not, hackable.
It's the blockchain technology. That's okay. Like literally what blockchain
it encrypts
is. So it
like,
all started with like security, right? So they created this thing called blockchain for like security for, you know, these big businesses and,
sure.
and tech and all that stuff. And then they tied it to a currency, and that's how you got cryptocurrencies. So that's what makes all of these, that's what makes like Bitcoin so valuable because you can't like, there's no counterfeit. There's no way to, you know,
you can't steal it.
Like, can't steal it. Exactly. So it's completely protected. And so they basically are tying these now to art and, you know, these art pieces are you can't copy them. Can't, you know, can't do anything to them. So the security behind them is like,
I'm going to get into NFTs, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in.
So let me know, bro. I'll put you on, bro.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give you a shout right after this.
We'll do a magic NFT.
Dude.
Abracadabra.
Dude, I could do it. The top hat and the little wand. And I'm like.
And pull a bunny out of the hat.
Pull a bunny out of the hat.
Or maybe you pull.
A bunny out of his stomach?
Yes. Out of his belly button.
Yeah.
Like it looks like a little ball of lint, but no, it's bunny.
It's a belly button. I remember when I was in recovery, like after I got injured, that a nurse would come and like bathe me.
Ooh.
Right? Yeah. But then. Every time you're like, all right. And all of a sudden she goes, oh, what's in here today? And I was like, what? And she'd be pulling lint out of my belly button.
Oh, that's gross.
And every time I'd be like, God damn.
Yo, that like, is gross, man.
Yeah, but also, like, it's embarrassing. You're like, come on, man. Like, I just wanted to remember one time to clean out my belly button.
Oh, God.
And I didn't. That not once. Rough, every dude. Day, she's like, what's in here today?
Every day?
I mean, you know, fucking for a week, I guess.
So you just didn't learn your life like it
so
happened.
She'd clean it out, and I'd be like, God damn it. That's like, I'm like,
how are you getting so much lint in your belly button?
I don't
like,
know.
How deep is your belly button?
It's pretty big.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll show it to you.
Okay. Off camera?
Yeah. All right,
it sounds good.
I guess not porn, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, and then, I don't know, I guess, I mean, I'm just laying there
okay.
all day.
Yeah.
And I have... Yeah, some type of gown or
it's
shirt.
Probably on. the you know, the cheap like bedroom like hospital
yes.
materials.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's in here today? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just a little leftover pee from.
Yep. The, and then, you know, just
scoop it out.
Oh, because like when you find your belly button lint, it's never.
You know, I've got like a like an like any, but it's out, you know.
So an any that's out.
Yeah. It's like an in out. You know what I mean?
So
but
you don't
like
get it.
It goes in, but I don't. Yeah, I don't get it. Yeah.
You know, this is pretty deep.
Pretty deep in
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
So it's penetratable.
It looks like it was made to hold lint, you know?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
one of those.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Or a little 20 sack or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Stuff a little.
Wait, I want to ask you this back to football.
Yeah.
What, because I love college ball.
Yeah.
What was your recruiting and choosing school process like?
Oh, it was nuts.
It was?
Yeah, it was sick.
So senior year,
you're
getting offered.
Yeah, I got offered by every team in the Pac-12. LSU, Oklahoma.
Where'd you take your visits?
I took my visits to LSU, Arizona State, UCLA, and then Cal Berkeley.
Okay.
I was supposed to take a trip to Oklahoma, but it was right after my UCLA trip, and I had like, I committed to like 5 schools, bro.
You did?
I was terrible. So like back in the day, you didn't do this type of stuff. Like if you... You know, if you commit to a team, you for the most part you stayed with that team back
yeah.
in the day. But I must have just been like the trendsetter for just like saying fuck
jumping
you to
around.
Any school. So I committed to SC like
you did
early on, yeah,
okay.
yeah, early on, and then but it was silent. I was like, yeah, like I'm. I told the coach, I was like, yeah, I'm coming here. You
yeah,
know what I'm saying, and then I ended up committed to Cal Berkeley.
Wow,
I was committed there for a long time, and then I took my trip to LSU. Mind you, probably one of the best times I've ever had.
Okay,
in my life.
I want to. And
they lost the game that week.
Who did they play? You remember?
They played Florida. It was like number two versus. It was like number two team in this country versus
because
number four team in the country.
There's certain like if you're a college fan,
yeah.
There's certain programs where
yeah.
even if you're not like regionally there or something, you
yeah.
go like, ooh, like yeah. that's an exciting
right.
And like as long as I can remember, LSU. Like, you know what I mean? As a brand, you're like, LSU football is the shit.
Big
like,
time, yeah.
Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, go Tigers. Yeah.
And like at the night, they're famous for the night games.
Yes.
And like, and you just like.
Loudest stadium I've ever
loud,
been into. It's
the
crazy.
Unis. And they're ballers. I mean, you
fire,
know.
Fire, yeah, absolutely.
So wait, you go there, you're in Baton Rouge.
Yes.
And.
Mind you, my team, my mom's, my mom's side of the family on my grandfather's side is from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Wow.
We're all Creole.
Okay.
So my whole family lives like 15 minutes from the campus. So they're stoked. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're like,
cousin from California is coming home to go to
yeah.
LSU, the whole deal. So we go out there, you know, I'm seeing my family for the first time in a long time, having a good time, eating good food. Have you ever had gator nuggets?
I've had gator meat. Yeah.
Oh,
from in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super good.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Fried gator and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. Really tasty. Yeah.
yeah.
But anyways, dude, we go out, I'm seeing every different shade of lady.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? It was
and there's
like,
something about those SEC girls.
And there was like, oh yeah. And there's
yeah.
like there's girl like light skinned girls with like green eyes
mm-hmm.
and just like all kind of crazy stuff. And I'm like, yo, I'm about to go crazy.
Yeah.
Yo, this is ridiculous.
Your name Cassius.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool
and
name.
They yeah.
I don't know nobody named Cassius. Do you like magic?
And you're like, yeah.
And I'm like, hell yeah, I like
yeah.
magic. Want me to
like,
show you
I'll
magic?
Show you some magic trick right now.
Yeah, yeah.
In out. Yeah.
Watch what happens on this downstroke.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
My sister went to Ole Miss, and I.
Oh, dude. Oh,
and
I've
I remember
heard legendary
around,
things
like,
about
yeah,
Ole Miss.
Dude,
so you
girls.
Went, you visited her there?
And I went out with one of her friends. I was like, oh.
I've heard crazy.
I was like, hotty totty. Yeah.
We liked the party.
Yeah, they were a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
wait,
SEC
so
schools
you,
are good.
You get like the, I mean, they roll out the red carpet, right?
Yeah, like, everybody knows. Like the fans know your name. The fans know, you know, who's on the recruiting trip. I've got like, I had two girls. I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I haven't told this story before, but so this is like an exclusive. So I get back to my hotel. Mind you, I had a great time. Went out to the bars. Like met a bunch of girls. I had just came back from hanging out with a female, and I get to my hotel room, and like I'm opening up the door, and the door across from me opens hella fast, and I'm like, because you know it seems like rushed.
Yeah,
it's like kind of freaking me out. And I turn around, and it's a blonde and a brunette that are just phenomenal, and they go, "Are you Cassius Marsh?"
No.
And I'm just like, yeah, that's me. I'm not telling you the rest.
And they're like, we're part of the math program here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yo, Do you want to study with us? Yeah.
And then you guys studied all night.
We studied all night.
That's rad.
Yeah.
And then, now let me ask you something.
Yeah.
How do you have an experience like that and not want to study there all the time? You know what I mean?
It was rough, dude.
Did you commit?
Like, I did. I committed to LSU.
Yes.
I was gung-ho for UCLA Tigers. At that point, too. I was LSU, dude. I was gung-ho for LSU. I was like, went back to school. I was like, dude, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You know, the whole deal, I wore the LSU. Like, I had custom hoodies made and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like...
You're like, the South does it right.
Yeah, exactly. And then what happened was I took my UCLA trip.
Yeah.
And I had an equally good time.
Really?
Yeah, I had an equally good time. And then we had a bunch of dudes who were on that same trip that were like big time recruits.
Mm-hmm.
And we all were like,
let's
make UCLA dope again.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much
it. So that basically, and that was that your final?
That was my final trip. Yeah.
Being last on that thing also is important, I think, right? If you're the school.
Yeah. That's why I didn't take that trip to Oklahoma, because I was like, just based on what I'm doing so far, I'll be committed to Oklahoma.
Sure. Oh, right.
And I'll be Leo.
Was it appealing too that you're a California kid and you're going there? Like, was that
for the LSU girls?
No, for UCLA. Like you're not going so far.
Yeah, not leaving home and stuff for sure was a thing. Yeah. Just staying close to home.
Man, LSU would have been some fun, bro.
I know. I almost transferred there, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Because we were
you
really
would have six kids right now if you went to LSU.
I really believe that, too. Like, it probably wouldn't have been good. But, our first 2 years at UCLA were bad. So,
Really? Yeah.
I thought about getting up out of there. But, you know, I wanted to be 3 and done. I was like 3 and out for sure.
Yeah.
I ended up doing 4 years, but that was the mindset.
Yeah, man.
No extra time in college.
Yeah, I always imagined that the recruiting trips have to be.
They're fun.
And especially like the further, like with time, the stories just seem to get wild.
I can't imagine what they were actually like now, because the hype level is so much bigger. And like with these big time recruits, like you know who they are pretty like early on and stuff. And like, you know, everybody's just so much more accessible with social media
and
stuff like that.
The older you get, you get more impressed that somebody can stay level headed, you know? And like last year when I went to, I was on a tour. No, it was 2019. Sorry. And we're coming up on Lincoln and Nebraska.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
reached out and they go, "Would you want like a tour of the football facility?" And I was like, "Fuck yes."
Yes.
So when I got there, I was like, "Give me a tour you would give to like a recruit. I want to see what this." And I'm like, it's so impressive, like the facilities and everything they show you. I'm like, I'm trying to put my brain into like 18-year-old me. I'm like, I don't know how I would ever manage this. Like this is, it's like overwhelming.
It is too. And like everybody along the way is just like, you know, topping you off big time sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You're the shit. And
you're just the greatest thing that you're going to be the best to ever come to this college and you're, you know, first team, you know, just everything.
And then
they just sell you the dream.
When you actually get there, they're like, that shit's over, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yo, like one of the main recruiting points at UCLA, this guy, Rick Neuheisel. Rick Neuheisel was the coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the main selling point, he was like, yeah, you know, guys, we've been Adidas for all these years. We're going Nike, because nobody liked Adidas back then. Like their cleats were really, really bad. Actually, we had like 15 foot injuries.
Really?
While I was at UCLA.
And he told you like this, what
because
we're
of
do.
Adidas cleats. He was like, yeah, we're going Nike, like 100%. He told like all of our recruiting class, we're going Nike. The day after signing day, signed the biggest contract in college history with Adidas.
You're like, Coach,
we were pissed, bro.
Yeah.
But like, what do you do? Everybody had signed their letter of intent.
Did you guys bring it up? Did you guys tell him?
What are you going to say to him?
Hey, Coach, what the fuck,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, he was, bro, he was clearly full of shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, that's what, I mean, you're recruiting. It's like,
yeah, recruiting is a bullshit art. It's a 100%. Total bullshit art.
I mean, I think, you know,
kind of, right?
I think there's, you know, there's got to be some truth behind some of it. But that one,
I remember hearing these stories about, because especially like these like Southern guys, you know, that like Bobby Bowden would go to the, like, if he made a house visit, they're like, he was the closer, you know, because he's like Southern guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd come in your house and, you know, the lady would be like, well, I made a pie. He'd be like, I love a piece of pie. Yeah. And then he'd be like, would you mind if I had another piece? Yeah. And the, you know, it's like endearing to the mom.
Exactly.
And then you're
that's big time. You got to get the mom.
Get the mom on board.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I imagine the craziest thing is, how would you go on campus at Alabama and not say yes? Because that, I mean, with Saban, with what they're doing, this type of dynasty, it's fucking ridiculous, man. Like, it's so crazy that they're basically just like a five-star factory, and there's five-star guys riding the bench for three seasons.
I think that if you are a young, like, top-tier player, and you choose not to go to Alabama, you're losing out.
Like, you kind of are.
You're like throwing money in the toilet, because they've got guys who were like backups that are getting drafted like third and fourth round.
It's insane. It's insane.
They're like,
right now, them, Clemson, and Ohio State.
LSU.
Yeah, and LSU.
Yeah.
But
Ohio State for sure, yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, when you watch the game, especially you get to like bowl season, you're like, oh, these guys are playing teams that are on a tier below. Like, they're just absolutely wiping people off the map, man.
It's making college football pretty uninteresting.
It kind of is to a degree. Like, I respect so much what they've built.
Yeah.
But when you see like the end of a season Alabama win-loss thing, and you're like, yo, they're beating people by like 60 every week.
And they're taking the kids out at like halftime too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get some rest, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty.
Something tells me you don't have to go to all your classes if you start at Alabama.
Let me tell you, if you've ever met a couple of these Alabama football players, I can tell you that they were not doing so well in classrooms. Yeah.
My cousin went to UNLV.
Okay.
This is in the late 80s, early 90s. That's when UNLV won
a lot of football
national champion. No, basketball. We're talking basketball.
Oh, okay.
Stacey Augman, Larry Johnson. These guys fucked people up, right?
100%.
They were such badasses.
Yeah.
And he goes, I had a class with Stacey Augman, who was, you know, like a premier starter, like won a national championship.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, you know, I'm like a kid. I'm like, what's it like? He goes, well, I saw him on one day and then I never saw him again.
First day of class.
Yeah. He's like, I never saw him in class again.
Yeah.
And you know, that was just, you're a star at a school like that. Is he a coach now? Oh yeah. Looks like he is.
Wow.
Yeah.
How time changes things, huh?
Yeah. Now he's like, you fucking should be in the class.
Yo, he's got the remote in your house. And your mom is sitting on the couch.
He's recording shows you don't even want to watch.
Can we turn his laugh into an NFT?
Absolutely.
Because like that laugh is
let me tell you
top tier.
Without even asking him, he's on board. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, that laugh is top tier.
Yeah, it's a great laugh.
It's killing me right now.
It's a great laugh. Yeah, it's like 100%. The polar opposite of his Google search skills. Yeah. Great? Not great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100%. I'm kind of bummed that, you know, his hair is not all crazy like it was.
Dude, I know it was. He wanted to fucking impress you, but...
Not impressed.
Not impressed.
No.
Wish you could do some magic and make it grow back.
I'll look into that, bro.
Okay. Cool. this was a lot of fun, man. Thank you for coming here today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good luck with the upcoming season. I mean, I think it's brilliant that you have the Cash Cards Unlimited. That, like, this business is going to just grow and grow and grow for you, man.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot.
And
I really appreciate it.
I will end with what I started with. Thank you for buying my house.
And I will say the same. Thank you for selling me that house, sir.
I'm actually very happy that it is this thing where you go, you know,
you love that house. You love that. You're passing it on to...
You want it to go to somebody that's going to...
Care for it.
Yeah, and appreciate it. And like, I mean, we have great memories there. You know, my... My second son was born, like, born, when we lived there. And, like, I have a lot of great memories of, like, you know, like, I can think about the house and picture different rooms and just things that that were done there. So, very cool. I'm so happy that I met you and that we got to do this, man.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Yeah. Stoked to finally meet you.
Cassius Marsh, don't forget to follow him on Instagram, which is it at Cassius Marsh?
Yeah, just Cassius Marsh.
Cassius Marsh. And then, of course, Cash Cards Unlimited. Check it out. Get into it, man. Fucking NFTs. Fucking bunnies out of hats. He does it all.
All right. Trading cards, magic, NFTs.
NFTs. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, all right. We'll see you next time. Thanks, guys.
Bert and Tom. Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.